Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Let me tell you, this president, President Trump, is making the life of talk show radio hosts easy. Oh, my God. Every day he does something that you can talk for hours on. And, of course, then his opponents respond, and he can talk forever about what they respond. So this presidency is going to be the easiest ever for talk show radio hosts, including me. I mean, it's just amazing. So I wanted to start with Donald Trump's tweets. That's another thing, right? What are the presidents ever tweeted? So you get sound bites, and you get them all hours of the night and day. And it's just, what can you say? It's just very, very strange. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show. And if you want in on the conversation, I'm going to talk about Donald Trump's tweeting today and then kind of the demonstrations out there in the world and some of the demonstrations that turned into riots. But you can call in 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. What do you make of all these tweets and in particular the content of the tweeting today? So the context for the tweets is a topic we discussed last week on the show, which was the immigration ban or the suspension, temporary suspension of immigration from 7 countries. And we're going to talk about that more today in the context of the tweets, but also in the context of some other things I want to talk about. And then a judge, I guess, earlier today suspended for the whole country, suspended the executive order. So basically, all the visas that were already outstanding are going to be honored when people travel into the United States and they can come in. So remember, the ban was also a ban on people who had green cards or had H-1B visas, who had visas, who just happened to be from those 7 countries, who'd been screened by our authorities, I hope anyway, before they got the visa, and now they were going to be excluded. So it wasn't just about new people. It was also about the previous people. Anyway, a judge reversed this. And put aside whether you think the judge was right or wrong or what you think of the opinion of the judge. This is a tweet from the President of the United States. The President of the United States. Not just some schmo on the street. Not even for me. And this is what he writes, right? The opinion of this so-called judge. For the President of the United States to call any judge in the United States so-called, that is the beginning of authoritarianism, people. That is just unbelievable. We are a country of laws. We are not a country of men. We are not ruled by men. We are ruled by laws. Now, the judge might be mistaken. There's a process to prove him mistaken. You appeal it. You go to the appellate judge. When the Supreme Court rules against Donald Trump on some issue, what's he going to say? The opinion of these so-called Supreme Court judges, I'm not going to pay any attention to it or something like that? Just using so-called judge in this context is so anti-American. It's so anti what this country stands for. It's so anti the principle of a system of laws versus a system of men. You know what a system of men is? A system of men is where the king gets to decide whatever he wants. And you just do it because the king decided. A system of laws actually creates a process. And in the United States, those laws are supposed to be guided by the principle of individual rights, of protecting individual rights. So, wow. So again, this is not anybody saying this. I can understand some commentator saying, well, this so-called judge, I don't really respect him. The President of the United States, this is now he represents the United States government. The United States government is basically going to be, there's going to be a constant war in the judiciary between judges who agree with Donald Trump and judges who disagree with Donald Trump. Isn't it enough that we have, Democrats and Republicans in the legislature? The courts are supposed to be above that. The courts are supposed to be nonpartisan. And again, you don't agree with the judge? There's a legal procedure for dealing with that. But by calling him a so-called judge, he's undercutting. He's undercutting the legitimacy of the judiciary, the authority of the judiciary. And as I say, he's undercutting the very system of government, which we still have in this country, barely holding on, I think. But we still, but we still have it. All right, we've got our first caller. Mike is on the line. Hey, Mike. Whoops, are you there, Mike? Hello, Mike. All right, I can't hear Mike. Maybe my producer can do something to remedy that situation, but I cannot hear him. All right, so this is the tweet. Now, this came after a flurry of tweets. The first one was, when a country is no longer able to say who can and who cannot come in and out, especially for reasons of safety and security, big trouble. Notice that that's not what the judge said. The whole idea here is the country has a system of who can come in and who cannot. There are standards for that. There are laws in place. Donald Trump wants to change the laws. I guess the judge is saying he did it in a way that is against the Constitution or in a way that is contradictory to the law of the land. And Congress can still get together and change the way in which we admit immigrants, right? He can rewrite the executive order, or maybe in appeal it'll turn out that the executive order is fine. But the country is able to say, I would change this tweet a little bit. What Donald Trump actually means is, when I, Donald Trump, can no longer unilaterally, with nobody actually overseeing what I do, when I can't say who can come in and who cannot, then we're in big trouble. Again, very authoritarian of him. And this is my biggest fear about Donald Trump. Not that he is a fascist or a dictator or anything like that, but that he has that mentality. And that we are all willing to just give it to him. And if we stay silent, and this is why, to those of you who wonder why I constantly criticize Donald Trump, I get these comments on Facebook. Oh, Iran's just biased against Trump. It's psychological. It's this. It's that. No. It's if we don't speak up now, at the beginning, this will get worse. This will get he will get more emboldened with this authoritarian streak. There has to be opposition. And since everybody else seems quiet, and the only opposition he gets is wacky from the wacky left, which I'll talk about in a minute, we got to speak up. We got to speak up. Anybody rational who disagrees with Trump has to speak up constantly all the time, because what he is trying to do and the very nature of the way he is interacting is so offensive to what it means to be an American that if we let him get away with it, it'd become much, much worse. All right, let's see if we can get Mike on the line this time. It looks like my control thing is not working, so maybe if my producer can hear me, maybe he can put Mike on the line. Mike, are you there? Mike? I guess not. Something here is not working. Okay, we're going to take – Mike, stay on the line. We're going to take your call after the break, after I figure out the technical problems here and what they are. I promise we will get to you. So, again, the first tweet by Donald Trump, when a country is no longer able to say who can and who cannot come in and out, especially for reasons of safety and security, big trouble. By the way, the judge is part of the country. So when a judge says this is unconstitutional, that is the country saying something. It's just not something Donald Trump wants to hear. Second tweet. Interesting that certain Middle Eastern countries agree with the ban. They know if certain people are allowed in, its death and destruction. I wonder who those Middle Eastern countries are. Maybe Saudi Arabia, where 15 of the 19 terrorists came from. Maybe it's Egypt, where the Muslim Brotherhood is headquartered. And I wouldn't use the Middle Eastern countries and what they think about anything as a standard for anything, right? Okay, and then the final one, the one I started with, is the opinion of this so-called judge, which essentially takes law enforcement away from our country, absolutely not true, is ridiculous and will be overturned. All right, maybe it will be overturned. Maybe it won't be overturned. But show some respect for the system. Not for a particular judge, for the system of law above men, law above the president. The president is not above the law. All right, when we're going to be taking a break here in a few seconds. Know what the response to Donald Trump has been. The response to Donald Trump from the left has been, you know, demonstrations at airports and demonstrations in the streets. And I'm curious what you think. What do you think about the way in which he is being opposed? How effective is this? Is blocking our airports, is this going to change anybody's minds? Who is suffering as a consequence of this? So let's talk about the left a little bit when I came back, and then I'll explain to you why I don't consider myself a leftist or rightist. All right, you're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be back right after these messages.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we're talking today about some of Donald Trump's tweets, latest tweets about this immigration ban. But also, I also want to talk about the demonstrations slash riots out there. And what kind of rights do you have as a demonstrator? What's a legitimate demonstration and what's not? Is what they're doing at the airports legitimate? We can also talk about Berkeley if you want and what happened in Berkeley. That's kind of interesting. But then I want to differentiate what you hear in the Yaron Brooks Show and what you hear from my positions as compared to kind of right and left, because I think you'll discover very quickly that I'm against both of them. And I think there has to be a third way. There has to be an alternative to what we have in front of us. But first, I want to finally see if we can get to Mike's phone call. Mike, are you there?
I am here, Yaron. Are you there?
I am. Wonderful. So what's up, Mike?
I used to work for the Department of Homeland Security. I'm a very patriotic person. Yes, I voted for Mr. Trump. Matter of fact, I was at one of his rallies last year, which was disrupted by very big protesters who were admitted they were paid at least $1,500 by Hillary's campaign to violently ruin it. I was there when it happened. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make here. Mr. Trump is trying to make America safe for people who were born right here, and once our laws to be observed, people who break the laws should be punished. Why anybody would not want our country to be safe is beyond me. The stupidity of this judge should be illegal. He's undermining Mr. Trump's authority. He wants
America good.
To be unsafe.
No, but it's good to undermine the president's authority, because the president is not an emperor. The president is a president, and the president has to function within the law, not outside of it. Now, this ban might make America safe. If you listen to my show last week, I argued that it wouldn't, because it actually doesn't address the real problem. And the real problem is that there are extremists out there, Islamic radicals out there, who want to kill us, and they are being funded, they're being supported, they're being armed by, they're being inspired by countries that are not on this ban, like Saudi Arabia, like the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, like one of the biggest terrorist countries in the world is Lebanon, which is basically ruled by Hezbollah, which is one of the most violent terrorist organizations in the world, anti-American, anti-Western. So the ban, in my view, the ban was there to appease Donald Trump's base. It was there to say, see, I did something. But it's not about security. If you really were serious about security, I would have liked to see an executive order saying Saudi Arabia is an enemy of the United States, and unless they change their way, We are going to treat them as a mortal enemy of the United States because they need to stop tomorrow funding all terrorist activities all over the world. And I will not let another mosque be built in the United States with Saudi money. That would have made America 100 times, 1,000 times safer than a ban on seven, you know, countries who were screening them anyway, because these are countries where, you know, there's not even a government in these countries. Six of the seven, there's no government because they're in civil war. So I'm a patriot. I'm for getting tough on the enemy. I'm for crushing the enemy. I'm for actually defending the United States, not making gestures in the direction of your constituency to make them feel good, rather than actually identifying who the enemy is and going out there and getting them. And that's what needs to be done in this country. I've been saying it since 9/11 or 9/12, and George Bush betrayed us on this issue. Obama, of course, betrayed us. He took us backwards. And unfortunately, I don't see Trump moving in the right direction either. This seven-country ban, in my view, from the perspective of the security of the United States of America, is a joke.
I just want to remind you one thing. That's quite okay. You can rant all you want. I just want to remind you one thing. The President of the United States, whoever he is, knows a lot more than he's telling us. You're right. Maybe they should include Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, and others. I mean, but they know more, so they have the resources to make the right decisions.
Let me ask you this, Mike. If President Obama had passed exactly the same ban, and I had come on the show and said, you know, this ban is ridiculous because these countries are missing, I bet you wouldn't have said that. I bet you would have said, you're right, it's Obama, he doesn't know. What scares me and what worries me, and I'm not accusing everybody, it just worries me, is that we start treating our presidents as if they're not the political animals and not the manipulative animals that they tend to be. George Bush had all the intelligence in the world. He had all the advisors in the world, and he still messed up after 9/11. President Bush could have killed Bin Laden, and Clinton could have killed Bin Laden before 9/11. They didn't. I'm sorry. Presidents of the United States are far from infallible, but worse than that, they often do not do what is clearly in the self-interest of the United States of America. And I'm not willing to view Donald Trump any differently until he proves me otherwise, and he hasn't done it yet. I am going to be there criticizing him until he proves that he actually gets it, and I don't see him getting it, and I don't see him anywhere close to getting it.
Okay, I got a question for you. Obama did something totally, completely outraged me. I'm still angry about it, all right?
Yeah.
The 9/11 attack was coordinated by people, some of whom were captured and kept at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I've been there. Yep. I was in the U.S. Navy long ago.
And he let them go. He let them go.
Why?
Well, because he's anti-American. Because Obama was anti-American. And Obama was... I agree with you. But that doesn't mean Trump is good, right? The fact that Obama's gone doesn't mean we put down our critical eyes, our critical brains, that we stop thinking critically, and that we accept everything the president does. I agree with you about Obama. Obama's awful, an abomination, an awful president. But here we are. One of the things Obama did right before he left, and Mike, thanks for calling. I really appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
You too. One of the awful things Obama did when he left is that just before he left was that he made it almost impossible for Cubans to come into the United States. Cubans, right? Cubans who have contributed enormously to our economy and to our culture, and these are people escaping, if you will, from the communist regime of the Castro brothers. Luckily, one of them's dead already, but Raul is still alive, an authoritarian regime in Cuba. And here, President Obama made it very difficult for them to enter the United States. Many of them were stranded in airports all across the world because they were trying to get into the United States, and now it was impossible because of Obama's executive order that he signed before he left office. Where was the left demonstrating when that happened, right? Why, when Cubans are stranded, nobody cares? Right? So this some of the hypocrisy, which is not surprising, of the left. But where's the rights outrage? Why isn't Donald Trump freeing them up? These are refugees escaping from communism. These are not Islamists. They're not a threat to the security of the United States. These are people trying to get away from communism and come and live in a free country. Isn't that what we've always supported as a country? Why not reverse that particular executive order by Obama? And unfortunately, it won't. Oh, all right, we got Joel on the line. Hey, Joel, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay, I got to correct you on Obama with Cuba. Obama didn't really give them a hard time to come in. He opened up the waters to them. He told the Coast Guard to back off and let them through.
Not true. Okay. None of that is true. You're talking about
Bill
Clinton,
coming in from
anything.
The waters because he did order. It was on the media about him, what he did. He opened up the waters to them to come to the water.
It's just not true. It's just not true. And look at his executive order just before he left office, where he says that no longer if a Cuban steps foot in America, no longer are we going to give him asylum automatically like we used to. Now we're going to put up all these barriers to them in entry. This idea that the Democrats are pro-immigration is a fallacy. They've never been pro-immigration. And this is the big mistake Republicans have made. Republicans have always been the party of immigrants, the party that's pro-immigrants. That's what Ronald Reagan was. Even George Bush was pro-immigration. And now the Republican Party has become this build a wall, exclude people from this country kind of party. And we won't even defend people who are escaping communism and coming into America to seek freedom. It's a sad, sad day for America when the Republican Party rejects Cubans.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. Obama, you're saying about the Obama, he goes bypass Congress and does everything what he wants to do, not what Congress wants to do.
He takes it upon himself to
do everything that he wants to do and not even bother to let it go through Congress. I think that's unconstitutional.
I agree with you, and Donald Trump is doing exactly the same thing right now with all these executive orders. But let me add that when the courts overruled Obama on some of the immigration executive orders that he passed, Obama accepted it. And I hope that Donald Trump will accept the courts when they overrule some of his decisions. But his tweet today doesn't suggest so. All right, you're listening to Ron Brooks Show. We're engaged in a passionate discussion here with our callers. We'll talk to you right after this break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so we're talking today about a little bit about the ban, the immigration ban that President Trump has passed, the judge's response to that, the demonstrations and the riots about it. But what I find interesting, and we're going to get to Sharon's call here in a minute, what I find interesting is your response, and Sharon included, and we'll get to that in a minute, your response to me criticizing Trump is, but Obama was terrible. I agree. I'm not an Obama fan. I agree with any criticism you want to throw at Obama, almost any criticism you want to throw at Obama. I'll probably agree with you. So does that mean we have to accept Donald Trump and anything he does because he's not Obama? Is Obama so corrupted us so that we think anybody who's not Obama is a good guy? Obama was bad. But if we want freedom in this country, if we want to sustain liberty in this country, then we better hold all our presidents, Democrats, Republicans, whatever, up to a very high standard. And I intend to hold Donald Trump to that very high standard. Criticize Obama all you can. He's not president anymore, so it's a little bit of a waste of time. President Trump is president. Let's evaluate when he does good things, say good job. When he does bad things, which is a lot of what he's doing in my view, let's say that's bad. But let's just roll over and play dead because he happens to be a Republican and he's not a Democrat. All right, we're going to go to a call from Sharon. Sharon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can. What's
up? Okay. Thanks for taking my call. Actually,
my
I do hold the president to a high standard, and when I told the call screener that he violated the Constitution, the last president, and had a bunch of executive orders, that is not what should happen, and this is why what he executively wrote out and ordered are going to be overturned. The problem is with the immigration crisis, as you remember, there is, for example, a horrible crime in San Bernardino where two people were supposedly vetted with green cards, shot up a party where they were holding a bunch of public workers in San Bernardino were shot dead, and they were finally captured and killed. Here's the thing. From the beginning of our government, we've been able to say who is allowed to come in and who isn't. No one is entitled to come in here, and refugees do not have a constitutional right when they arrive here. We, out of the goodness of our hearts, have been the largest accepting country of migrants, of immigrants from other places. Now, that being said, the reason why Trump was elected, and I also voted for him, is to protect us here. Now, I don't want to see a bunch of executive orders from him going forward. I believe in conservative constitutionalism. We live in a constitutional republic. And as I said to you last time, I want to see a lot of power diverted from the national government to the states, because that is a better way to respect individual rights. It isn't just individuals running rampant like you have these rioters in California and in New York. They basically, what I'm worried about living outside of Chicago is that there is unrest in the city because you have a lot of gang shootings here. They may secrete themselves within these gangs, come to the suburbs and cause harm. And ISIS had said that they intend to secrete themselves within the flow of the refugees to come here. So, of course,
Sharon,
we're all on edge. We've seen the unrest.
I agree with you. But look, a number of things. One, just to correct the fact, San Bernardino, the man, the San Bernardino couple who killed all those people, the man was born in America. He was an American citizen by birth. His parents were immigrants.
She was not vetted.
His parents, she wasn't. And she was vetted, and she was vetted badly, and she was allowed to come into the country from none of the seven countries that were being banned by Donald Trump.
Understood.
She was allowed to come to the country from Saudi Arabia, and she was originally from Pakistan, two countries where we are not increasing the vetting because somehow Donald Trump doesn't believe they're a threat, which I think is ridiculous. So I agree with you. I have no problem with intensifying the vetting against Muslims from certain countries coming into this country, or against all Muslims. I would go a step further. I would actually have Congress, because it's Congress's job, declare war on radical Islam and then make a list of all the countries and all the organizations dedicated to radical Islam, and let's go out there and let's crush them. Let's actually make them pay the price for trying to kill Americans. I don't see that happening. I also agree with you on Obama's executive orders. They were unconstitutional. And I hope, but I fear I'm wrong, I hope that Donald Trump is going to use the same mechanism. You see, Republicans attack Obama when he does the stuff, but then when they get power, they want to do it themselves. So I fear that Donald Trump is going to do the same thing with regard to the unconstitutional executive orders. I would like to see Congress reassert its proper power within the division of labor within our government. Congress is the one that should be regulating immigration. There should be comprehensive immigration reform. As part of that, we should have intense screening of people who might be threats to the United States, and we can define it clearly in legislation. I'd like to see Congress define our trade agreements rather than letting the president, by executive order, decide what to do and what not to do. I think we need to go back to the original system of government that our brilliant founding fathers created for this country, and I think we've moved far away from it.
One more thing I want to say. The name of the group that's doing all this mayhem is called Antifa, A-N-T-I-F-A. They're anti-fascist. They are the basically resurrected red shirts from the Marxist era.
Yeah, but they are fascists. They are the real fascists.
I agree with you. They are.
Absolutely.
They are. The thing is this. We are called racists if we mention any group and single them out, and that's simply not true. The Muslims who come here, unfortunately, don't assimilate too well. They might be beginning to, but they're fleeing. I understand that they could be fleeing persecution.
We're going to cut you off here because the commercial break is happening. Thanks, Sharon, for calling.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So we are talking about Donald Trump tweeting some of his executive orders, immigration, covering a lot of ground. I want to talk a little bit about the demonstrations out there, and then I'm going to take a call from my favorite caller and a friend, Sean, in a minute. But look. We have a constitutional right to assemble. We certainly have a constitutional right to speak. And I would be the first to man the barricades for your right to speak, whether I agree with you or disagree with you. But what people do when they go to an airport and sit on the road and sit in the terminals and disrupt the ability of people to go about their lives and their business, that you do not have a right to. You do not have a right to block traffic whenever you feel like blocking traffic. You do not have a right to cause me to miss my flight. That is not your road that you're sitting on that you get. This is nihilistic. It's destructive. And, find a venue where you can express yourself. Indeed, if you want to protest the ban on immigration, go to some federal building and obstruct federal employees. Go to a courthouse. Go to City Hall, as far as I'm concerned. But when Black Lives Matter did that, the thing in Chicago, when they went and blocked choppers on Michigan Avenue, you do not have a right to obstruct private movement on private property. And airports are the equivalent of private property. And they have a purpose, and you can't just disrupt that. And the fact that the police are letting them get away with and not issuing any kind of citations – and these people have not got a permit, is again another form of the breakdown of law in this country. And unfortunately, I think it's coming from both right and left. And it's one of the reasons I find myself, just unhappy with both parties, both sides, not unhappy, but fundamentally in disagreement with both parts of the political spectrum. But I know another guy who is pretty upset with both parts of the political spectrum, both and who disagree with them, and that's Sean. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Very good. Can you imagine what a better world it would be if people understood that your rights can never be used as an excuse to take away someone else's rights? I mean, that's it.
Well,
it's enough said.
They even understood what rights were. Wouldn't that be cool? Just an understanding of what rights are.
simple, simple concept. So one thing I also want to say, you did a fantastic, I know I DVR'd it, and I think it was a little while ago, but a fantastic job on Stossel as you intellectually pantsed the young communist who thought he was too cool for school. I thought you did a great, great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But as I've listened to your
people
show,
can find that on YouTube if they're curious. Just look, John Stossel, Yaron Brook, Communism, and you'll find it.
It's great. It was a great segment. One thing, as I'm listening to your show and when I do my show, one thing I always hear when people, they feel like in order to defend Trump, which they inherently know is a usurpation of authority, that they must invoke Barack Obama's lawlessness. So I heard that from the other callers. I hear it all the time. And as you look throughout history, that is the pattern of how despots are really created, is that they always follow someone who was an absolute failure. And what happens is people surrender their ability to criticize and their sense of reason. And I see this happening right now. It is clearly happened economically.
Absolutely, Sean.
And now it's happening in law. And you know, the one thing I talk about is
let me just say this, and then I'll let you go on. It's absolutely right. I mean, what happens is people are so fed up. They're so upset by the previous administration. Usually it's a number of administrations that are being incompetent, that are no good, that are just bad, that they kind of give up and they say, we just want somebody to clean up the mess, right? Drain the swamp. And
exactly.
They're willing to let that person have power and control that they would never imagine. Just a few years ago, none of these people who support Trump and defend everything he does would have even considered somebody like Trump as president of the United States. It is a form of desperation that they're reflecting.
Well, it's a simple rule. Law is a shield. It is not a spear. And when have someone who uses law as a weapon to take away other people's, whether it be their property or their rights or their liberty, that is tyranny. Tyranny. So instead of us demanding that law be used as a defense against our liberty, we are now using it. That's right. He better take that from them, and he better do that, and he better bring back the economy. And I'm telling you, Yaron, this is the most scary time in America because we are willing to subject ourselves to servitude. You hear it in the callers. I know you do.
I agree with you completely. I'm scared. I'm scared and I'm worried. For the first time, I've lived in the United States. I think I've mentioned this on the show that I'm an immigrant. I've lived in the United States for 30 years. I've been following American politics for 40 years. And I think this is the scariest time ever.
Every dictator disguises himself as a patriot.
Absolutely. And nationalism, the whole idea of economic nationalism or any form of nationalism, is anti-American. Now, what upsets me is not that Donald Trump positions himself as a nationalist. What upsets me is that people can't see through it, is that there is not an uprising in this country against nationalism, for individual rights, for individualism, for the very foundational ideas of this country, because they're not understood anymore, because people don't understand what this country is about. That's what's scary.
All national populism is Marxism with better management. That's all it is. It's the same.
They make
theory.
The trains run on time. Absolutely. Thanks, Sean. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And all of you, you're listening to Yaron Brook Show. We're going to be back in a few minutes just after this break, for the final segment, where I want to tell you why I'm not right, I'm not left. Something new. Maybe we should rethink the whole spectrum of the political spectrum. How about that? All right, we'll be right back after this.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So if you're listening to this show, and if you've been listening for a while to the show, you know I'm pretty unhappy with President Trump, and I never supported him. I didn't support anybody. And I'm happy with what he's been doing. You know, some of the stuff, given credit for some of the stuff, is not bad. Rolling back regulations, I'm big on rolling back regulations. He wants for every new regulation, we roll back two. What's this nonsense of every new regulation? Who needs new regulations? I say just roll back two. And why two? I would roll back 200 a day for 4 years. Yeah, I think then we start approaching a free market, right? And it's also, when you add a regulation and roll back two, what if the regulation you add is more intrusive, more controlling than the two that you're undoing? Are you making the market freer or not? No. So it's not just quantity. You've got to consider quality of regulations, the content of the regulations. So, you know, you're not going to find anybody out there who's more free market than me. I just don't think Donald Trump is really free market. I'm seeing no evidence that he actually is. So, you know, I'm very critical of Trump. And if you don't know, you just found out. And I can't stand the left. I hate the left. Viscerally hate them, right? These protests that are going to make me miss my flight tonight. And, the burning. I don't know if you saw what happened at Berkeley where they try to stop Milo, who I'm not a fan of. But it has a right to speech. They beat people up and they pepper sprayed them. It's just disgusting behavior. And of course, President Obama was an awful, awful president. I don't sympathize with any of them. The whole political spectrum today, in my view, is awful. It's just awful. It's wrong. It's ideologically wrong. They have the wrong ideas. They don't. And the thing that unites them all is none of them understand what America is. So let me quickly tell you what America is, because we got like a minute and a half, right? America is the land of individuals. It's about individualism. It's about individual freedom. It's about leaving individuals alone to pursue their own happiness. It's about protecting us from coercion, government protecting us from coercion, and in other words, getting out of our lives, getting out of our business. This is the land of the free, right? Nobody gets that anymore. Both left and right seem to be obsessed by collectivism. The group is primary. The tribe is what matters. We're Americans because we all happen to be in this geographic area. Last week, I think on the show, somebody called in and said, America's for people who were born in America. No, it's not. No, it's not. America's for anybody who respects individual rights, who believes in individual rights, who values individual rights. Some of us were not born in America. We, in a deep sense, are more patriotic than you who were born in America because we actually made the choice to come here. But that's what's sad, is that everybody now is a collectivist. Which, you know, Obama wanted to turn America into Europe. And I think to a large extent, the left has succeeded in making us more and more like Europe. Now the right has joined in. They want to make us the same, also like Europe, just a right-wing Europe instead of a left-wing Europe. We're different. We stand for individual rights. Our founding fathers created a government to protect the individual, to create his right to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness, not for the sake of some bogus nationalism or even just any kind of nationalism, not in order to shield us from the world as if we were cowards before the world. Anyway, this is why you listen to the Yaron Brook Show, because you're going to get a completely different individualist perspective here you won't get anywhere else. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org. your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.